All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a case that, really kind of reshaped the way New York courts look at police authority, especially during those street stops.
Yeah, it's People v. Torres, decided back in 1989. It's a pretty good example of how state constitutional law, can sometimes offer people more protections than what you get under the federal constitution. Like the Fourth Amendment.
That's a really good point. For our listeners out there, especially those in law school, this is a classic example of New York kind of forging its own path.
Yeah, for sure.
So the real heart of this case, and this is what we'll be diving into today, is can the police actually search your car, like go through stuff in your car during a stop just because they think there might be a threat later on? Like, even if they've already frisked you and didn't find anything.
Right. It's like, how far can that justification for a search actually go?
Exactly. We're going to be going through the whole thing. The facts, the legal back and forth, what the judges said, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there was some real disagreement among the judges. Like, they didn't all see eye to eye on this one.
Which is what makes it such a great case to break down. You get these different perspectives, these different legal opinions. Really helps you understand the issues at play.
Absolutely.
So to kind of set the stage, take us back to how this all started. What was the initial situation that, that triggered this whole legal battle?
So it all starts with an anonymous tip that the police get. Someone calls and says, hey, there's this guy, Popo. He's a homicide suspect, supposedly carrying a gun. And he's leaving this barbershop.
Okay, so an anonymous tip. No way to really verify it at this point, right?
Yeah.
So what did the police do with this information?
Well, two detectives in plain clothes, they go to the barbershop, and they see a guy, Torres, who kind of fits the description they got in the tip.
Mm.
Now, Torres, he gets into a car. And the detectives notice he's got this shoulder bag with him.
Okay, so we've got a guy who kind of looks like the suspect getting into a car with a bag. That's all they really have to go on. So how do they approach him? Do they just like walk up and ask some questions?
Not quite. They go up to the car with their guns drawn and tell Torres and the person he's with to get out. And then they frisk both of them.
Whoa. Okay, so things escalate pretty quickly. Did they find anything on Torres when they frisked him?
Nope, nothing. No weapon, no contraband, nothing like that.
So they've got this tip about a gun, but nothing on him.
Right. But here's where it gets interesting. After they frisk him, one of the detectives reaches into the car and grabs that shoulder bag Torres had. The detective feels it, notices it's heavier than it should be, and decides to open it. And inside, he finds a handgun and ammo.
Okay, so that's a huge development. The gun's not on him, it's in the bag, which is in the car.
Right, and that's a big deal for how this case plays out.
It seems like this is already raising some serious questions about whether that search was even legal.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly what Torres's lawyer argued. They filed a motion to suppress the evidence, saying, look, you can't just search the bag like that. It was an illegal search.
So they're saying the gun can't be used against Torres because the way they found it violated his rights.
Exactly. But the trial court disagreed. They denied the motion to suppress.
So the court's saying the gun is admissible as evidence, even though there were questions about how they got it.
Yep. So Torres ends up pleading guilty to having the weapon, but he does it in a way that lets him still appeal that earlier decision about the search.
So he's basically saying, okay, I'm pleading guilty for now, but I still want to fight whether you should have even found that gun in the first place.
Exactly. He wants a higher court to take a look.
Makes sense. So what happens next? Who hears this appeal?
So it goes to the appellate division, which is kind of like a middle step in the New York court system.
Okay.
And here's the thing. The judges in the appellate division, they couldn't agree on whether the search was legal or not. They were split.
So no clear answer from them.
Right. And because of that split decision, the case ends up going to the highest court in New York, the Court of Appeals.
All right. So now we're at the top. This is where it all gets decided. What's the big legal question the Court of Appeals had to grapple with?
It boils down to this. Under the New York State Constitution, can police, during a Terry stop, which is that brief detention based on reasonable suspicion, can they search a car because they're worried about some potential future threat, even if they've already frisked the person and haven't found anything on them?
So it's not about a threat right then and there. It's about a what-if scenario. Like, what if Torres gets back to his car later?
Right. It's about that potential future danger.
And that's what the court had to decide.
Exactly. And Justice Titone, who writes the majority opinion, he really pushes back on this whole idea of a speculative future threat.
Okay, so let's get into Justice Titone's reasoning. Why did he and the majority of the court decide that the search of the bag was unconstitutional?
Well, their main point was that once they got Torres out of the car, they frisked him and they didn't find a weapon. Any immediate danger to the officers, that was gone.
So in their view, the moment that immediate threat is gone, you can't keep searching.
That's basically it. They said, look, reaching back into the car to search a closed bag, that's not okay anymore.
And they even specifically address a case from the U.S. Supreme Court, Michigan v. Long, which seems to say something different, right?
Exactly. In Long, the Supreme Court said that you can search a car if you think the person is dangerous and might get a weapon. But Justice Titone says, come on, it's not realistic to think that someone who's been taken out of a car and searched is going to suddenly attack the police with something hidden in that car.
So New York's kind of setting a higher bar here, a stricter standard than the federal courts when it comes to these searches during a Terry stop.
That's right. And Justice Titone is really clear that the New York State Constitution gives people more protection when it comes to privacy than what you get under the Fourth Amendment.
New York doing its own thing, sticking up for individual rights.
Yeah, you could say that. But it's important to remember, this wasn't a unanimous decision. There was a strong dissent from Justice Bellicosa.
Right, the dissent. Why did Justice Bellicosa think the search should have been allowed?
He puts a lot of weight on the tip the police got. He says, look, even though it was anonymous, it had specific details that the police were able to confirm. And he's also concerned about that shoulder bag being right there in the car. He argues that it's still a potential risk, even if Torres is outside the car.
So his focus is on the possibility that Torres could somehow get back to the car and get that gun.
Right. He's basically saying, let's apply that Michigan v. Long logic here. Let the police secure any possible weapons before they let someone go, just to be safe.
It's that balance, right? Protecting the public, but also protecting people's rights.
Absolutely. And then there's Justice Alexander, who wrote a concurring opinion. He agrees that the evidence should be thrown out, but for a different reason entirely.
Oh, interesting. Tell us about Justice Alexander's take.
His problem isn't with the search of the bag. It's with how the police approached Torres in the first place. He says, look, they went up to the car with guns drawn before they even saw Torres do anything illegal. Just because he fit a vague description from an anonymous tip, he thinks that initial approach was already unconstitutional.
So he's going back even further, questioning the whole basis for the stop itself.
Right. He thinks the whole encounter was flawed from the beginning.
Wow. So even though the majority agreed on the outcome, they had different reasons for getting there. This case really highlights how complex Fourth Amendment law can be.
It definitely does. And it's had a huge impact on search and seizure law in New York, especially when it comes to the two-step test that the courts use in these cases.
Yeah, that two-step test is important. For our listeners who might not know, can you break it down? What are those two steps?
The two-step test is basically a way for the courts to check if a search was legal. The first step asks, was the initial intrusion by the police, like the stop itself, was that justified? And then the second step asks, was the search itself, like what they actually did, was that related to the reason they stopped the person in the first place? In Torres, they say, sure, the stop might have been okay because of the tip, but searching that bag after he was out of the car, that was too much.
It's about proportionality, right? Making sure the search isn't broader than what the situation calls for.
Right. And Torres also had a big impact on the automobile exception, which is a legal idea that says people have less of an expectation of privacy in their cars.
Because cars are mobile, they're out on public roads, that kind of thing.
Exactly. But Torres says, hold on, that doesn't mean you can just search any closed container in a car during a Terry stop. You need probable cause or some other really good reason.
So that fact that the gun was in a closed bag, that mattered a lot to the court.
It did. They were saying, just because you might be able to get to something later doesn't mean the police can search it right then and there.
It really limits what police can do during those stops.
It does. It prevents them from using a Terry stop as an excuse to just go rummaging through someone's car.
They can't just go on a fishing expedition.
Exactly. So in New York, after Torres, it's clear that for a search to be okay during a Terry stop, there has to be a real immediate danger to the officers, not just some hypothetical worry about what might happen later.
And just to be crystal clear, a Terry frisk, that pat down, that's specifically for finding weapons that are on the person.
Right.
It doesn't give them the right to search through bags or other belongings.
Torres makes that crystal clear.
So big picture, what we're seeing in People v. Torres is this constant balancing act that courts have to do, keeping people safe, but also protecting their rights.
Yeah, it's this ongoing tension between security and liberty.
Yeah.
And in Torres, the New York Court of Appeals really leans into protecting those individual rights, even more so than the federal courts.
Which is something for our listeners to think about. You know, does the Torres decision strike the right balance? Does it give enough protection to individuals? Or does it maybe tie the hands of law enforcement too much?
And think about that anonymous tip. How much weight should that really carry? Especially when you're talking about potentially stopping and searching someone. It's a tough call, balancing the need to act on information with the risk of relying on something that could be wrong.
And here's another one to ponder. What if the bag had been on Torres, like strapped to his shoulder? Would that have changed the outcome? It's a subtle difference, but it could have meant a completely different legal analysis.
Absolutely. Those little details can make a world of difference in these cases.
This whole case really highlights how important it is to understand the specifics of state constitutional law, especially in New York, where they've really carved out their own approach to search and seizure.
And for anyone studying law, especially in New York, Torres is a case that you absolutely need to know. It shows how these legal principles play out in real-world situations, how courts are constantly trying to figure out where the line is between keeping us safe and protecting our freedoms.
And that line isn't always easy to find. All right, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into People v. Torres. We hope this gives you a better understanding of this important case and why it still matters today.
It's a fascinating one, that's for sure.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and we'll see you back here on The Deep Dive.